Good morning. I'm Pastor Aaron Winawiski, and I am so glad you're here. You are in the right place. It is Christmas time. We are hearing Christmas songs. Sometimes we hear things in Christmas songs that we don't really say a lot, like, bring me some figgy pudding. Like, who's saying that? What is figgy pudding? Like, we can pretend that he's Parson Brown. Like bells on bobtail ring? Like when you were kids, right, you could just say those and make something up. Like bells on Bob's tail, and you imagine the horse's name is Bob. That's what Heidi told me she did with that line when she was a kid. We just sang this song and I'm looking at the lyrics here. It came upon a midnight clear. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled. That's what we're going to be talking about today. The cloven skies. To have something that's cloven, it's like a cloven hoof is an animal with a hoof where it's split. It's about the skies splitting open and angels pouring through this, like, dimensional rift. But that's not always what we think of when we start singing, "It came upon a midnight clear." And angels we have heard on high, we sing Gloria in Excelsis Deo. My sister's name is Chelsea, so our kids growing up thought that that was talking about something about in Aunt Chelsea's Deo, which fit just fine, you know? I mean, we love having Aunt Chelsea over at the house on Christmas time. So, but in excelsis Deo is Latin for glory to God in the highest. It's part of the message that we hear from the angels on the first Christmas night as we look in Scripture. Let's talk about angels. They appear throughout Scripture. So as long as we're talking about the birth of Jesus, and we're talking about the angel announcement, let's dig into what are these things. In order to believe that angels came at that time, you have to believe in angels. You have to believe there are realities that cannot be observed and measured by anything that we can design. Here's how I make sense of that in my own mind. I'm nervous and excited for this part of the message today, because essentially what we're going to have is a physics lesson, and I'm more of a Bible teacher than I am a physics teacher. Okay, so some of you, as soon as I said physics, you were like, I'm checking out. Don't check out. Play along with me. There's this book that I picked up at the college bookstore when I was in school, because it was only a dollar. And I had heard somebody, I think it might have been like Carl Sagan or some, like long time ago, mention this book. It's called Flatland. It's by this mathematician named Edwin Abbott. And in Flatland, this was written in the 1880s, what this guy establishes is a world where the characters are all two-dimensional. So I want to help you imagine what that's like, a two-dimensional world. So I've got just this little shape cut out, and if we imagine this little shape on the stage, and if there are other shapes on the stage and they're all moving around the stage, there's a back and forth, there's a left and right, but all they can see of each other, because there's only two dimensions, there's no up, there's no down, there's no under, there's no over, all they can see of each other is a line, because they're all living on one plane. So if you imagine this stage is a two-dimensional plane. Now we live in three dimensions, so we live in planes stacked upon planes. But if we just imagine we're this two-dimensional character and everything that we see is just a line, because we can't tell the shape of it because we can't get over it. Are you following me? So all you see is a line. Now, imagine me as a three-dimensional character who can see what's happening. I can see under the character. I can see over the character. I can see inside this character's house because I can see over it. So if I could speak into this character's plane, he wouldn't know where the voice is coming from. And I could tell him things about him that I can see that he can't figure out how I would be able to see that. And what if I, on this two-dimensional plane, what if I put my hand through the plane? Well, if I just put one finger through, my finger would first show up as a dot, and then it would become a line that would grow as my finger got thicker as it crossed the plane. What if I put four fingers in? Then all of a sudden there'd be four shapes, but then eventually the four shapes would become one shape. If I took a ball and dropped it through, the ball would start as a point, would become a growing line, and then go back to a point and disappear. And the two-dimensional character would have no way to understand that. It would not make any sense to the two-dimensional character. And if I, as a three-dimensional character, would try to explain, well, I can tell you what's in your house because I can see from above. Well, what's above? There is no up, there's no down. This character has no concept of what above means. Now, if I were to take this character, lift them out of their plane, and give them a concept of up, it would absolutely blow this shape's mind to be able to see what we see in three dimensions. It would be impossible, once this character got back into two dimensions, to explain to other shapes what he had just seen. Edwin Abbott wrote this book as a way to write a neat, it's a novel. It's called a novella. It's a short novel. A romance in many dimensions or something. I forgot what it's called, but besides Flatland. But he wrote it in order to help us kind of conceive of things that we cannot measure, things that we cannot understand. So I want us to keep that in mind, that there are possibilities in the world, things that may happen that we could observe them happening, or somebody could observe them happening, but they defy any explanation because we don't have the capacity, we don't have the tools to understand. There are some things we don't fully grasp. So now I'm not trying to simply boil down the spiritual realm into, well, that's another dimension. I'm not trying to suggest that on any sort of a like scientific basis. All I'm trying to say is that it's possible to think about what seems impossible. And it helps me to consider that when I think about a God who is three and is one. Huh? It helps me when I think about Jesus, who is fully God and fully man. Huh? We know that to be true, but how do we explain it? Well, it's difficult. How can God hear the prayers of all people at once? What does it mean that there are angels and demons at work around us right now? There are some things we don't fully grasp, but I see evidence and clues to suggest that they're real. So what are angels? We sing about them. Angels we have heard on high. We sing about them, and it came upon a midnight clear. We sing about them. We see pictures of them this time of year. But what are angels? I'm going to first tell you what they are not. Angels are not the spirits of dead people. Sometimes like popular culture has given us that impression. I remember that from Looney Tunes. Because, sometimes they were violent. And a character would character would die, or Tom and Jerry, where, you know, Tom would always end up, oh man, I mean, they were so violent. And then even when he became, he would die, and then he'd turn into an angel, and then Jerry would still torment that poor cat. So we get these impressions, we get these ideas, but they don't come from Scripture. Yes, people are born and have a spiritual aspect to them. We have a soul, we have an eternal soul, something that cannot be seen or measured, but that will continue on. That's different from an angel. Angel literally means messenger. And my favorite description of angels, because I think it accurately describes a lot of what we see them do in Scripture, is they have maybe a model like the police to protect and serve. They protect God's people and they serve the Lord. They protect people and they serve the Lord. That's what we see angels do over and over again in Scripture. Now, I personally, full disclosure, have not had supernatural encounters with spirits or angels, so I don't feel qualified to share any, you know, specific stories of spiritual, supernatural events going on today in a real overt way. I can say with confidence, though, there is a spiritual realm. I can say that humans are created with an eternal spirit and that angels are created servants of God. So in the Christmas account, we get to see an intersection of these heavenly beings within our reality. The cloven sky ripped open and angels intersecting the world in a way that causes the shepherds to just have their minds blown. So Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them. Boom! Like a three-dimensional character stepping into two dimensions. But it's something else stepping into the world of these shepherds, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. This is beyond what they could understand or explain. It's beyond what Luke could describe in writing. The radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. What does that mean? Well, perhaps it defies description. When these shepherds talked about the things they saw, maybe as people heard the story, all they could boil it down to was, boy, that sounds like the glory of the Lord. And it's the best they could do. They were terrified. Continuing in verse 10, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. Why is it that angels are always saying, don't be afraid? I think it's because when you have that encounter with something that's beyond, when the heavenly intersects earth, it is more than you can process. Do not be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. This message was so important that God didn't put it in the mouths of human deliverers. He didn't put it in the mouth of a prophet, someone who would speak on his behalf. As a human, he made it more direct. His very own servants, his very own messenger brought this. The prophets predicted the Messiah, and then angels announced his arrival. Continuing in verse 13, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others.
the armies of heaven praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Heaven invaded earth. The armies of heaven appeared, but not to take over, but to make an announcement, to sing praise. Oh, as we imagine this, if we were to imagine this, like, okay, what if the spiritual realm is like another dimension, and there's this, see, I'm just nerding out. Because some of the stories that we enjoy today, and I'm not saying they instruct us on what is happening in Scripture. I'm just saying they might help us imagine what this is like. Because some of the stories that we see today, especially some of the science fiction that we see like dimensional rifts, and we see portals, and we see otherworldly things sometimes invading Earth. I could start listing nerdy things that we see that in the Avengers, Stranger Things, but I won't. I won't start listing those nerdy things. But something is happening here where heaven and earth, the veil between them, is lifted for a moment. And there's this amazing intersection of the reality we know and the realities of heaven where the spiritual beings are at work. And it's beautiful and it's amazing and it's beyond description. Thousands of years ago, people looked forward to the day when the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord would come and intersect the world in an unprecedented way. And he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. People looked forward to a time where this spiritual intersection would happen and God would be among his people. They looked forward to it. They waited for it. They anticipated what it might be like. And that's the announcement these angels are making now, is that has happened. God has intersected earth in an unprecedented way like he never had before. God with us. His one and only Son is now wearing flesh and walking among people. I'm not saying he was walking the first night he was born. I'm projecting out a little bit. And he did. He walked with people. He had friends. Peter and John were two of his closest friends. And he was trying to explain to them, as a three-dimensional character might try to explain to a two-dimensional character, the realities that they cannot comprehend. Jesus intersected earth in order to help us bridge that gap, that chasm between our finite lives and our eternal existence. The angels were an intersection of heaven and earth. Jesus was an intersection of heaven and earth. And his closest followers told us, wrote down for us, that we should anticipate an intersection of heaven and earth, that we should be looking forward to it, that it's difficult for us to grasp and understand, and yet it is coming. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, he says, "But we are looking forward to the new heavens and new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness." We're looking forward. This Christmas season it's a season of Advent, a season of looking forward. Just as people thousands of years ago looked forward to the arrival of Christ, and now we look forward to the arrival of Christmas, we have something to look forward to that Peter tells us is still coming. John, arguably the closest
follower of Jesus. He was taken like a two-dimensional character into three dimensions. He was given these views of the heavenly reality, and we read it in the book of Revelations, and we just go, that's so weird. Some of the stuff that he describes in there, that's so weird, and yet we've got to realize he's doing the best he can, and we just are not equipped. He doesn't have the words. He doesn't have the language to help us see and understand what he saw. We don't know what up means. We don't know over, under. We're limited. He says towards the end of his recording this revelation, Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, so he's getting a glimpse into what Peter is saying we have to look forward to. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. How does a city come down? How does a city look like a bride? I mean, there's all these questions that we can just kind of imagine. He's doing the best he can. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, I just want to warn you right now, if somebody next to you is sleeping, give them a little bit of an elbow, all right? Just a little bit of an elbow. Because what I want to do is I want to understand what's going on here, and I want to shout this. I just didn't want to shout it just then without any warning, okay? So, just a little, okay. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever. Awesome. Awesome. We have something to look forward to. As we anticipate this celebration of the birth of Jesus, we're looking back at the fact that God intersected earth in an unprecedented way, that he gave us a bridge to heaven, that Jesus, as fully God and as fully man, became the gate for us to experience this new heaven, this new earth, this place and this time and this situation where all pain, all suffering, all death is gone, where he wipes away our tears, where there is no veil between us and our Creator, the Lord who loves us. Awesome. Sometimes we overuse that word. I'm using it correctly. Awesome. Awesome. So do you believe? Are you willing to hope for a future when everything is made new by God? A God we can't see or measure, a God we can't predict and say we know how he's going to do things. We don't know. He gives us clues and we take our best guess. Are you willing to accept that there are spiritual realities that are playing out around us right now? Do you trust that our best information about these realities was revealed to God, by God to human authors who wrote it down, who preserved that information, and who passed it on to us? It's been tested, approved, and collected in the Bible. Do you trust? Do you believe? Do you know that when you pray, you are interacting in that spiritual realm, fighting evil and opening opportunities for heaven to invade earth? We're not equipped to know what Jesus knows But what he says is, trust me. He says to us, follow me. He says, abide in me. Stick with me. I am the good shepherd. Listen for my voice and follow. One day, we will clearly see the full reality. One day, we will see how angels protected us and served the Lord, even when we couldn't imagine that that was going on. One day, we'll live in the intersection of heaven and earth, where there's no more death, no more crying, no more sorrow or pain. The invitation into this reality is only through the one who came to earth to conquer death. This was a mission that was worthy of the announcement from angels, the cloven skies. It's a mission and a message that he's entrusted us to embrace and to continue. We are here today to let our voices join the voices of angels who we can't hear right now. Do we believe, though, even as a possibility, that they are all around us? And when we sing praises to the Lord, we are joining in with the armies of heaven. We are participating in that spiritual reality. There is more going on than we can see. Do you believe that? If you believe that, and all the advertising for all the stuff that we see on TV is nothing compared to the advent that we have, the looking forward that we do to the day when we will see how beautiful it was that we stood together, that we sang together, that we worshiped together. The God who loves us so much that he sent his son. Let's pray. God, I know that it was a fight for some people to get here this morning. I know that there are all kinds of distractions, that there are all kinds of excuses, that there are all kinds of feelings that we fight through. I thank you, God, that you are at work in our hearts, that your Holy Spirit is alive in us today, that you do lead, that you bring us together, that you join us with heavenly choirs. I pray, God, that as we take time to reflect on this message from Scripture, and then as we take time to sing together, I pray that it would be pleasing to you. I pray that it would change us from the inside out. I pray that just as the shepherds' lives were transformed that night, that in large and small ways we would get glimpses into heaven, that we would get glimpses into how heaven is intersecting earth, that we would see you at work, even in difficult circumstances, and that we would praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.